Welcome in, y'all. We could not hold off any longer. We have the Stars going to overtime right now, so we figured we'd hop on. Was hopeful that we would get a clean sweep today. All three teams giving us the dub. Rangers started it off well, 15-8 victory. Mavs obviously took the L tonight. Man, that was a disappointing game. And now it's up to the Stars to salvage the evening after a pretty brutal Mavs loss. We'll talk about that one a little bit at the end of the show. But before we get too far into it, y'all know here at Right on Rangers, we cover everything sports, but we put a little bit of an extra emphasis on all the teams we love from the great state of Texas. Appreciate y'all tuning in. Let's get right into it. Let's talk about the good stuff from today. So first of all, the Rangers game started off exactly how we wanted it to after a night where the offense really didn't get going until crunch time. And of course, we're talking about Corey Seager with a 3-run home run last night to win the ball game for the Rangers, a game the Rangers really had no business winning beyond maybe the fact that they pitched outstanding in that game, Andrew Heaney, the bullpen. But the offense, from just an offensive perspective and standpoint, the Rangers had no business winning that game last night. So look, good to steal a win. And I am so glad that today, instead of more zeros, instead of kind of kicking the can, scuffling our feet, we get right into scoring runs. And Semien, first pitch, Marcus sends it into the seats. It's a beautiful thing to see. And from there, 10 runs in the second inning. 10 runs. That was a lot of fun. The A's kicked the ball around a little bit in this one, which obviously helped the Rangers score some more runs, but everybody was hitting today. I mean, you had two guys. I'm kind of interested to see, when's the last time you had two guys with four hit games? When's the last time that's happened? Maybe it's sooner than I think, but Jonah Heim, Marcus Semien, each with four hit games. That's what's up. That is what's up. I love to see it. And I absolutely think that this might just have been what the Rangers needed to really get going this season. Who knows? It is the A's. I know we got to temper our expectations a little bit here. I always say that because, you know what? We look real good against bad teams. Can we carry this on against good teams? Against high-quality teams, can we do the same thing? I don't know. But for today, I'm going to be absolutely thrilled with a Rangers 15-8 victory. Marcus Semien goes 4-for-5 with 5 RBI. I think he was a triple shy of the cycle, if I'm not mistaken. Was kind of bummed to see him get the hook for, what was it? I forget if it was in the 7th or 8th inning, but I know that everybody was kind of coming out of the lineup at some point, but was kind of bummed he didn't get that 6th opportunity to try and get that triple for the cycle. And it's pretty rare you see Marcus coming out of a game in general, but look, not going to complain about a 4-for-5 day with 5 RBI. Semien with the single, double, home run, a little bit of everything today. It was beautiful to watch. When he is going like that, when Semien is hot, hitting well, it is really, really hard to beat this Rangers team. You add Seager into the mix too, who went 2-for-4 today. No home runs, no extra base hits, but a couple singles today. Still great to see from Seegs. I'll take a multi-hit day from Corey Seager right now, especially after the slump that he had been in, to see him come back last night and then tonight, or actually earlier today, I guess, and continue to hit the ball well, have good at-bats. Great to see from Seager. When Semien and Seager are hitting like this, the Rangers are just going to be a really tough team to beat because inevitably there's going to be other guys in the lineup that are hitting as well on days when they're on. So when you've got Semien, Seager going a collective 6-for-9 at the plate, Semien and Seager combined to go 6-for-9 at the plate today with 5 RBI, yeah, that's not going to get beat very much. It's just not. So as we look, let's go into the box score a little bit further here. We had Wenzel coming in for Seager. He went 0-for-2 today. Definitely glad that Seegs was able to take a little bit of a rest. We got a lot of baseball coming up here in the next little bit. We've got Thursday off, but tomorrow, doubleheader. That's a little bit crazy. Kind of a weird scheduling series by the A's. I have no idea why they decided to do a day game today. I know that there's a doubleheader tomorrow, but just kind of a weird scheduling in general. I know that the off day is nice. I mean, look, I'd probably rather play a doubleheader and then get Thursday off than play Wednesday, Thursday. If I'm just being real, thinking about my days as a ball player, I'd much rather play 2 games in one day and then just have a completely free day off the next day. Of course, I would assume the Rangers will head to Colorado probably after the game tomorrow or after the game today if you're listening to this on Thursday or on Wednesday, excuse me. So maybe they fly tomorrow night to Colorado, do the off day in Colorado, and then start the weekend series. That's probably the plan, I'm sure. But, man, it sure is nice to at least ensure a split with the doubleheader coming up tomorrow. So the Rangers take the first two games of the series. I really do feel like the doubleheader may throw a wrench in the sweep. It's tough, I think, winning both games of a doubleheader because there are just so many variables. You just don't know how things are going to go with the pitching. You don't know exactly how things are going to go when it comes to a doubleheader, just the flow of the first game and how that can affect the second game. So I would have felt very confident had this been a traditional Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday series, just four games in 4 days. I would have felt pretty confident the Rangers could sweep this entire series. I think what we're seeing, I think it's very clear the Rangers are a class above the A's. The A's have had a good run up to this point. The A's are not a great baseball team. They're coming on. They've got some young guys, but the A's are not a team that the Rangers should be losing to. Rangers need to at least take one tomorrow. I'm not going to be displeased with splitting the doubleheader tomorrow. I think that's actually a really, really great expectation. If they can get the sweep, even better. I said coming into this week, so yesterday, I said the Rangers need to take five out of these seven games. You need to go 5-2 against the Oakland Athletics and the Colorado Rockies at minimum. I think anything other than 5-2 is a huge, huge disappointment for this team. This team needs to win five games. They could and should probably win six, and it's not out of the realm of possibility that they could sweep this entire week. And I'm not saying that arrogantly. They are just better than Oakland and Colorado. They have better pieces. They have better pitching. The Rangers should sweep this entire week. At minimum, though, go 5-2. I think that the most likely situation is probably 6-1. But 5-2 minimum needs to be the expectation this week. Rangers already two wins under their belt. Hopefully they can get at least one out of two tomorrow. We've got Mike Lorenzen, and then Jack Leiter coming back up from the minor leagues to make his second major league start. And Jack Leiter will be pitching in the second game, in the nightcap, if you will, of the doubleheader that the Rangers play on Wednesday. And we'll preview that and more in just a little bit, but let's kind of wrap up things from today. So Doley is actually the only Ranger today. He had two RBI, but Doley is the only Ranger starter to go without a hit today. Go figure. I wouldn't have expected that, but Doley is the only one that goes hitless. Poor guy, but he had a couple of sack flies and a walk, so he joined the party. He wasn't completely left out in the cold. Zeke Duran comes on for Doley, 0-1. Carter was 1-6 on the day, 2 Ks. Carter kind of had a little bit of a weird play. I think it was in the bottom of the second inning. Ball he probably should have caught. The defense just continues to raise questions in my mind. I just don't know if it's just like a phase, like this is going to pass eventually, and they're suddenly going to start playing that World Series caliber defense that we all know the Rangers are capable of playing. We saw it all last year, but I'm a little bit nervous about this defense right now. I'm not going to mince words. It hasn't looked great. It hasn't looked sharp the past, I would say, couple of weeks. So I really feel like when it comes to the Rangers defensively, they need to step it up. They need to get to that spot that they were at last year. Obviously, having Josh Young, an excellent defender, is going to help things. But I think you've got some guys that really were known for being pretty good defenders that are struggling a little bit right now. Even to see Evan Carter, like I said, have some trouble. I know it was windy today, but I still say these are Major League Baseball players. I think it's okay to be a little bit hard on them sometimes. I think Evan Carter would say that that ball today in the bottom of the second is one that he probably should have caught. And then we had Seager with the throwing error. Again, guys that you don't expect to be making errors out there, it's a little bit concerning. Last night we had, I think, two errors. Today we had two errors again. So a little bit concerned with all the errors. I really hope that it's just a passing phase and that the Rangers get back to playing that gold glove defense that won them a championship last year. But the errors concern me. We all know that these errors can lead to losses depending on the situation and the context of the game. Fortunately, the Rangers had an incredible lead thanks to a 10-run second inning, so it didn't come back to bite them in any way. But when you're playing in a one-run or two-run ball game and you're making two errors in a game, that can be the difference, win or loss. So I'd like to see the Rangers clean things up a little bit when it comes to their defense. And I think that that can happen. I think they've only, what, lost a couple of guys from the original starting nine that won the World Series. So I think that the Rangers are very capable, and I'm confident that they'll turn it around defensively. But it's concerning to see right now. Let's wrap things up on box score review. Josh Smith goes 2 for 6, and he has a run scored, an RBI, hitting .302 on the year. Josh Smith just continues to rake, man. Just continues to rake up at the plate. We love it. We love Josh Smith. He's been such a huge piece for this Rangers team with some of the injuries that they've suffered. He continues to hit well. Love to see it. Jankowski gets the DH job today. He goes 1 for 5 with a run scored. Good to see him in the starting lineup. Look, I don't think that Jankowski is going to be a, you know, 325 hitter, probably not even a 300 hitter, but I just like having him in the lineup. I think he gives you quality at bats. I think he puts the ball in play more often than not. Struck out once today, but put the ball in play every other time. Had a hit today, had a run scored. I like having Travis Jankowski in the lineup. I'd love to see him get more opportunities. Y'all have heard me say that over and over again, so I don't need to go off on it for 30 minutes. But I think that this is the move. I think they need to get him more involved. Great to see Leody have a great game today, 3 for 5. And, of course, 3 runs scored, 2 RBI, a walk. Leody on base 4 times today. Leody has this kind of potential. I think I've said it almost every time I talk about him. He has so much potential. But what we just see is just a roller coaster up and down ride with his focus, with the mental sharpness out there. He has the tools. It's why he was the top prospect in the Rangers system for multiple years, several years back, right? Talking about before 2020, before the COVID years, he was one of the Rangers' top prospects, if not the top prospect. He was the untouchable guy. And it's because Leody has so much potential. I really hope that this is something he can sustain. I'm skeptical. I think that it's easy to do this against the Athletics, and it's easy to do it in May. Can you keep doing this in those really, really tough series that we're going to have to grind out in August and September against in-division top talent? Obviously, the A's are in-division, but we're talking about teams like the Mariners, teams like the Astros. Maybe the Astros are just going to stay down in last place all year long. We surely won't complain about it. But my point is, is Leody going to do this in the biggest moments when it matters? Last year, the answer was no. The World Series went without a hit. The ALCS had one home run off Justin Verlander, pretty much did nothing after that. I just want to see Leody do this consistently. So I'm not going to overreact to the game today from him, but I am going to give him his flowers because he absolutely has been hitting well of late. He's been getting on base. That is what the Rangers need from him. Now, can we just limit the mental mistakes? Can we limit the defensive mistakes out in the field? Can we start doing the little things right 99% of the time? These are Major League Baseball players after all. So glad to see Leody doing well today. Not going to knock him too much today. Really, really feel good of where he's at right now, and I hope it continues. Here's the reason I'm skeptical. Think about Leody's start last year. Leody and Duran last year, they both started out really hot April and May. April, May, even a little bit into June. I mean, both those guys were hitting extremely well. And everybody kind of started saying the same thing. Okay, maybe we have something here. Okay, maybe these guys are turning the corner and these guys are going to be solid contributors for us down the stretch. And then mid-season hit and both of them absolutely tanked, Leody and Duran. So I hope that this is something that can be continued. I'm going to enjoy it while it lasts. I'm not going to take it for granted. When Leody is hitting this well at the bottom of the order and turning over the lineup for Semien, for Seager, so invaluable. It's huge. So I hope that this continues. I know that sometimes criticism can be taken as you're rooting against them. I don't root against any Rangers player. Never. I want all these guys to do well. But at the same time, I think you have to look at things, try and be objective, and call it like it is. I know that there are those types of fans, and I respect it, just the eternal optimist about everything. And if anybody ever objects, you say, let the manager manage, let the front office do their thing, right? They know more than you. I mean, that's kind of a lazy response to me. I think a lot of us, even if we're not a major league manager, a lot of us have been around the game a long time. We know baseball. We can call out obvious things when we see them. Major League Baseball players shouldn't be dropping fly balls that are catchable. Major League Baseball players shouldn't be getting caught off first base without even a dive back. So I think it's okay to call these things out and simultaneously root very hard for every single Rangers player's success. And that is where we're at with every single Ranger in this lineup. Cheering for all of them, want to see all of them do well. But at the same time, this is an opinion show. We share our opinions here. We don't have to get too worried about being politically correct with how we're seeing this Rangers team. Just call it like it is. And right now, the Rangers, after a game like today, are looking really, really good. I just want to know, can they continue this? Did they save some runs for the doubleheader tomorrow? That's my hope. That is my hope. By the way, what's up to everybody watching on YouTube? I know I got a bunch of comments that I missed. Appreciate y'all. Thanks for tuning in. I'll do a couple of comments and flash a couple of them up there. Yeah, Mike, thanks for the comment, bud. So the season's definitely young. I know that in the stretch of 162-game season, you're going to have Myers where the defense isn't playing as well, the offense isn't playing as well. So we don't want to overreact. That being said, we all know bread and butter of this Rangers team winning it all last year was defense. Right? That was one of the number one things in my mind that made the Rangers World Series champions. So it's a little surprising, I think. Maybe that's a better way to put it. It's surprising to see them struggling defensively because you just kind of always thought that that was the one variable that would go unchanged. The Rangers would just be good at defense. So to see them struggling back-to-back games, multiple errors, surprising. Surprising. I don't want to say concerning, but surprising. Now, let's talk about pitching before we preview the game for tomorrow. So, Urania, I was very, very worried about him in that bottom of the second inning. Rangers had just put up a 10 spot, and Urania threw probably 30-plus pitches in that second inning. And you were kind of wondering, is this guy only going to go three innings, even though we just gave him an 11-run lead or whatever it was? I think it was. It was 11 to nothing. And I was sitting there just thinking to myself, are we about to only get three innings out of our starter after giving him 11 run cushion? But to his credit, gritty performance from Urania. He went five innings, 90 pitches, only gave up one earned run. There were a couple of errors in the bottom of that second inning. I believe Seager, and I know Carter didn't get an error, kind of a generous ruling. They ended up giving the hitter a double. I think Carter could have caught that ball in the bottom of the second inning. So look, Urania to gut that out when things were looking a little shaky in the bottom of that second to give us five innings of length, absolutely huge. That was huge because this was a day where you wanted to use as few bullpen guys as possible. It is probably a disappointment that the Rangers had to use four guys today. I think it would have been great. Urania gives you six and another guy gives you two or three and you maybe only use two arms. I think that was probably what Bochy and Maddox wanted to do. Urania, give a six, and then maybe a guy like Rodriguez or Cole Wynn just finishes the last three innings. But Jonathan Hernandez, I know that he's still coming back from that injury. He had a little rehab time. But for Jonathan Hernandez to walk five guys in one inning, I know that in today's game we have a lot of guys that are throwers, not pitchers. And I'm not saying that applies to Jonathan Hernandez, but it does just boggle my mind when major league pitchers walk that many dudes in one inning, five walks in an inning, and you have a lead, right? So theoretically, when you have that big of a lead, you want to pound the strike zone repetitively and make the A's square up baseballs and beat you that way. You don't want to have five free passes given in a game where you're leading by double digits. That's why it concerns me even more that Hernandez is out there giving up five walks. You have cushion. Challenge these hitters. You don't have to be cute and paint the corners when you've got an 11-run lead. I think Urania was doing a little bit of that in the bottom of the second inning. You know, you're trying to throw sliders off the corner, sliders low. I get it. You're trying to work on stuff out there, but throw that fastball, right? You don't have to center cut every time, but seriously, throw the fastball, put it in the strike zone. Urania has a great sinker. Throw the sinker, put it in the strike zone. Hernandez, same thing. I just think to walk five guys in a game where you're leading by double digits is just ridiculous. So I don't know. Maybe it's just one bad outing from him. I can't say that Hernandez has been like a model of consistency going back to last year and the year before. Can't say that about Jonathan Hernandez. But we're going to cross our fingers that this appearance from him was just a one-off, really bad day. And I know that the mentality is different. You're coming into a game that's really lopsided. Maybe you don't have that laser focus. But some of these guys that are borderline guys in my mind, like Jonathan Hernandez is not a guy that you like say to yourself, we got to have that guy no matter what, or we're not going to win. I don't say that or think that about Jonathan Hernandez. Nothing personal against him, but he's not that kind of pitcher for us right now. We don't need Jonathan Hernandez in October. Right, we don't. Unless somebody's injured, we don't need Jonathan Hernandez in October. So these guys that are borderline fringe guys in the bullpen, they can't afford to take any mental days off when it comes to the appearances that they get. I mean, these guys are going to eventually run out of opportunities. I think today you're looking for Hernandez to just pound the strike zone. If he gets hit around, whatever, but don't walk five guys. For me, I want to see these players do well when they get the opportunity. Guys like Hernandez, Rodriguez, you're only getting so many shots at the big league level. Rodriguez comes in, gives up another home run. I feel like there's maybe only one or two appearances Rodriguez has made where he hasn't given up a bomb. Rodriguez, another guy, getting an opportunity with Evo going on the IL. You just wish for these players to do well when they're given these moments. So to see them struggling, it sucks. But these guys have to be better when they come in, regardless of the situation, if they want to hang around and be contributors for this team. I don't care that it's a 10-run game. You got to be sharp, and you got to make sure that you're on your A game regardless, because you just don't know how many more chances you're going to get. So I don't say this just sitting here trying to be overly critical just to be rude to these guys. For me, I just feel for them because I know you're only going to be able to or allowed to walk five guys in one inning so many times before you get sent back down. You're only going to be given so many relief appearances where you give up a bomb in every single one before you get sent back down and you don't necessarily get an opportunity to come back up. So I want to see these guys do well. It's frustrating that they can't come in today and put up better numbers against the subpar A's team with a lead, but it is what it is. Hernandez had two walks as well in two innings. Just think about Andrew Heaney last night. Andrew Heaney in his last 89 batters has not given up a walk. Isn't that crazy? Andrew Heaney, starter last night for the Rangers, last 89 batters has not given up a walk. That's crazy. Andrew Heaney is pitching incredible right now. We didn't give him enough love last night for his performance, but Andrew Heaney is on an absolute heater right now. And that man deserves a lot of praise for the work he's putting in and for how he's continuing to improve as the season is progressing. But Andrew Heaney, man, 89 batters without a walk given up. And then you've got a bunch of these bullpen guys giving up a walk literally three batters in a row. Little concerning, but then again, these guys are not the top of the bullpen. So like I said to y'all last night, remember this game when people throw up the bullpen stats, because inevitably in about a week or two, just for the sake of discussion, somebody is going to throw up a bullpen stat on the Rangers and the numbers aren't going to look great. But then you just need to remember that the bullpen gave up 6 runs today against the A's in a game where we led by double digits. And so the bullpen numbers are going to be inflated. So when the Rangers bullpen numbers get thrown up as a graphic on ESPN or whatever, MLB Network, or on Rangers boards, Facebook, Reddit, whatever, take these things into consideration. The bullpen had Hernandez and Rodriguez give up 6 runs today to the A's. By and large, the guys that the Rangers have as their frontline guys in the bullpen are pitching great. Keep that perspective next time somebody flashes a Rangers bullpen stat. The numbers aren't going to look pretty, but the guys that actually are going to be counted on when it matters are doing great, and that's what's relevant. Now, let's go ahead and let's start shifting our focus a little bit here. We're going to cover a couple of the matchups for tomorrow. Obviously, it's a doubleheader, so we'll go through game one. We'll go through game two. So game one is Lorenzen versus Sears. Sears, if you remember, almost no-hit us through, 6 or 7 innings. Dolley had to break up Sears' no-hitter in the 6th inning of our last game where we faced Sears. Hopefully, that doesn't happen again. That's the day game. 12:37 start. Going to look at the matchups for just a second. There's not a lot of guys that have seen Lorenzen on the A's. Brown, the left fielder, is 0-for-11. That's nice to see. JD Davis, the third baseman, is 4-for-10 with the home run, so he's a guy to look out for. Langoliers is 0-for-5. Rooker is 1-for-4. So not a lot of guys on the A's with numbers against Lorenzen, and the few guys that do have at-bats against him haven't done that great beyond JD Davis. So don't groove fastballs to JD Davis, and Lorenzen should do just fine. Mike Lorenzen's been a great contributor for this team ever since we signed him. I've loved what we've gotten out of him. I hope it continues. JP Sears, 2-2 with the 3.89 ERA, 30 strikeouts. So Sears is having a pretty good year, and he pitched very well against the Rangers. We actually have, a couple of guys with some decent numbers off of him. Heim is hitting 273. I believe he's 3-for-11 with the home run. Simeon is hitting 188, but does have a home run and 4 RBI. I wonder if that's a grand slam. Maybe. So Simeon and Heim have both homered off Sears, but Rangers have appeared to be a little bit plagued by lefties. I said that we do our homework and figure out what the splits are when the Rangers face a lefty starter. We got a little lazy, didn't do our homework last night, but I would really love to see what's the Rangers splits when they face a lefty starter. Not lefties like overall, like including the bullpen, but just the lefty starter. What's the average in the lineup versus a right-handed starting pitcher? I would probably guess that it's lower against lefties. Feels like we just struggle against them a little bit. There are a few guys that see lefties well. I think Dolley was hitting over 300 against lefties. Duran, I think, historically has hit well against lefties. I'm sure he'll get in the mix at some point tomorrow with it being a doubleheader. But a lot of Rangers with poor numbers against Sears. Leody is 1-for-10. Seager looks like he is 1-or-2-for-11. Kisner 0-for-3. Dolley is like 2-for-16, 1-for-16, something like that. So the numbers are not great against Sears. Hopefully that will change. The Rangers, as they say, are due against Sears. Maybe that's the case tomorrow. We'll have to see. I'm a little bit nervous about how the Rangers bats are going to come out against him. Hopefully we can jump on him quick, and then that avalanche just falls down from there. That's the plan. Tomorrow in the night game, looks like the Rangers are going to have Jack Leiter. We talked about that. And then not sure who the Oakland starter is going to be at this point. Looks like Beto. Don't know if I'm saying that right. Doesn't look like he has any sats. So I don't know if this is major league debut. It very well might be. Doesn't look like he has any career stats. So I think this is major league debut for the A's pitcher against Jack Leiter in the nightcap. So I think the nightcap is the game to win. 100%. I think that the day game is the game that you really hope they win, but you're not shocked if they drop. So again, I'm going to say, let's take 1 out of 2 tomorrow and let's be overjoyed when we go 2-for-2. But I think JP Sears is a tough matchup for the Rangers. That being said, facing a guy making his major league debut in the night game, I think that's a game the Rangers need to win 100%. So that's kind of my hopeful prediction here. Rangers are going to get 1 out of 2. I hope that it's 2 out of 2. But that is, I think, what the expectation at minimum needs to be. I don't think they're going to drop both these games by any means. But let's get at minimum 1 out of 2. And if we can get a full sweep of the A's, 4 games, man, that would be awesome. Talk about creating some separation. The A's were literally like a game behind us. So to win 4 games off of them and create that distance between second and third place, it's a beautiful thing. You know what else is a beautiful thing? The Astros losing today. The Astros losing today and the Rangers winning. We say it all the time. When the Rangers win, it's a good day. When the Astros lose, it's also a good day. But when the Rangers win and the Astros lose, it is just a terrific, terrific day. And that is what happened today. The Astros losing, I believe, to the Yankees. Yep, 10-3. I saw that 10-3 score. Yankees are 24-13 right now. This is a week where the Rangers are playing bad teams and the other teams in the AL West are playing good teams. The Mariners are playing the Twins. The Astros are playing the Yankees. This is a week the Rangers need to take advantage of. You need to win as many games as possible this week because your competition in the division is playing really, really good league-wide competition. So I'm hopeful that the Rangers, like I said, will go at least 5-2 this week, hopefully 6-1, and we're going to be absolutely elated if they can go 7-0 because you've got the Yankees, you've got the Twins trying to beat up on our rivals right now. Hopefully, we can get a little bit of distance with the Mariners this week. Mariners are a half game behind us right now in the AL West. Then after that, you've got Oakland 4 games out. Angels are 7.5 games out, and Houston drops back to 8 games out. 8 games out. Beautiful to see that. Don't know if Houston's going to turn this one around. 3-game losing streak right now. I just don't know. I know the Astros, it always feels like they're kind of inevitable. I know that word's been thrown around a little bit by some baseball guys on social media. It does feel that way. But at the same time, you're kind of losing a lot of games and digging a pretty big hole for yourself. We'll see what the Astros end up doing. But look, they're dropping a lot of games right now. A lot of games. So I don't know. I don't know if I can make a solid prediction on what their record is going to end up being when it's all said and done. But I'm going to enjoy the losing streaks. That's for sure. Gonna enjoy them, y'all. So tomorrow, we'll have a reel out probably early in the morning, going over both matchups, giving you our update on our system, betting 1 cent on Texas Rangers money line for every follower that we have. As of right now, we're doing Facebook followers. We're doing followers on TikTok as well. We're up to around a $42, $43 bet. And with the win today, I believe we are now up over $100 on the season. So we've broken the triple digits mark for the first time this year. We're really, really happy about that. And you know what's been nice is the Rangers haven't been like crazy huge favorites in these games. They've basically been like slight favorites, and it's allowed us to get a little bit of margin over the past 4-game winning streak that the Rangers have been on. So let's keep riding this winning streak, y'all. It's going well, and I just want to say thank you to all of my new followers, everybody that's followed the page recently, liked things, shared things. Thank you so much. That's what we most appreciate and are most grateful for is all of you guys. The main reason that we started this channel way back when, probably what, about 1.5 years ago, just wanted to talk sports with people. I just wanted to talk sports with good people, especially Rangers baseball and all of the Dallas-Fort Worth area sports in general. As you all know, we like to put a little emphasis, extra emphasis on all the teams we love from Texas, being that is where we are from originally. So I really hope that y'all continue to enjoy what we're doing here. Thank you for your support. And we'll be back at you tomorrow at some point, probably in the evening. I think that we'll probably let both games play themselves out. Maybe we'll go live during the second game, depending on how the evening goes. I think that could work. Let's go ahead and let's check on a couple other things. Let's do a little bit of bonus content, but then we're getting off. Oh, my goodness. I did not want to see that. Abs end up winning it 4-3. You got to be kidding me. That hurts, especially after being up 3-0. That hurts. Painful. Long series, though. 7-game series. Y'all saw what happened with the Golden Knights, with the Golden Knights series. They dropped the first two, came back and won 3 in a row. It just sucks losing game one. Mavs lose game one tonight. Stars lose game one tonight as well. You never want to lose game one, but I think we've seen that it is very possible to come back even after you lose game one. So we got to keep the faith. Man, that is a bummer to see, especially after that 3-0 lead in the first period. That's tough. When do we play next? Let's see here. Is it probably sometime later on this week, maybe on Friday, Thursday? Who knows? Let's check this out. I'm going to look at a couple other things while we're doing so. So game two is Thursday. Game three is Saturday. Wow, it's pretty much every other day, huh? Okay, cool. Every other day. That's right. I was seeing that some people were frustrated because the Mavs and Stars literally are playing at the same times like the next 4 or 5 games. Ugh, that's too bad. I hate having to choose, but that's why you got to go double TV in the living room, if at all possible. I haven't worked my way there quite yet. Right now, I'm TV and tablet, but the dream is 2 big flat screens in the living room at some point. That's the dream. So that's what you got to do. For right now, if you don't have the double, you got to go tablet and TV and just be really stressed out all night long as you ping pong back and forth between each. And when the Rangers are playing at the same time, even more so. Although on Thursday, I think Rangers are off, so we can all just enjoy both playoff games. But I think like Saturday, probably all of them are going to be playing at the same time. Whew. There we go. Hey, fun times. Playoff basketball, playoff hockey. Baseball in full swing. Got to enjoy it while it lasts, y'all. Hey, really, really appreciate y'all tuning in. I'll get to a couple of comments here. What's up, Natalie? Thanks for tuning in. Appreciate you. I really think at this point, if the Rangers, and I've said this before, if they can just survive March, obviously the end of March, April, May, until everybody gets back starting in June and July, yeah, this is going to be a dangerous team for sure. I think the Rangers are a scary team considering they've got DeGrom, Scherzer, Molly, Evo, Bradford, all on the injured list right now. I mean, that starting rotation plays pretty much on any team in major leagues. So we have like the best starting rotation and it's all on the injured list right now. And what's incredible is how well everybody that's healthy right now in the rotation is pitching too. So you're going to move some of those guys to the bullpen who are pitching super well right now. And I totally agree. That's scary because now you've got a super formidable, very formidable bullpen, and you've got a frontline starting rotation. If the Rangers can be, I would say, anywhere from 5 to 10 games above 500 at the end of this month, that is super, super ideal. I hope that that can work out. I hope that the Rangers can keep the winning ways going until everybody gets back healthy, all the reinforcements. But this Rangers team, the depth of the team is scary, 100%. Rangers have a lot of depth. They've got a lot of injuries right now. When everybody gets healthy, this team to me, I know that the Dodgers are the glamorous pick. The Braves, I know, are up there too. I think there's going to be a lot of people sleeping on the Rangers. I felt it coming into this season. This team is pretty much returned everybody except Mitch Garver in the starting lineup. And we added Langford, added a consistent Evan Carter kind of day in and day out. I mean, look, I think this lineup and this pitching rotation and staff is only going to continue to get better and better as guys get healthy. And that is what makes the winning streak right now so much fun. Can we extend it out to 5, 6, 7 games? It kind of feels like you're playing with house money. I think the Rangers have a very good chance of getting through April, May, a little bit of June. Not totally unscathed, but again, if they can be 5 to 10 games over 500 at the end of this month and the end of June, I'll take that. Because then you have July, August, September to get exactly where you want to be when you've got everybody fully healthy. Well, all right, y'all. We got to get off, go to bed. It's getting late here. I'm sure it's late in Texas if you're still watching there after midnight now. But again, we love y'all. Thank you for the support. Hopefully we'll see you back again soon. Hope y'all have a great Wednesday. And as we always say, God bless and go Rangers.